This podcast was recorded Thursday, June 14th at 11:20 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like Jim Comey might send Donald Trump a birthday card. Probably not. Let's talk politics.
This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at the savvy Snollygosters, the shrewd politicians who work and play at the Statehouse and around Ohio. I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown. Coming up, new polls put a smile on Richard Cordray's face as he runs for Ohio governor.
But first, the case of the Great Purge. No, no, not that horror movie or the campaign of political repression in Russia. This is the Great Ohio Vote Purge.
It's actually more of a house cleaning, really, than a purge. And it's been going on for years, but in this time of close elections and hyper-partisan rancor, Democrats want to send Secretary of State John Husted to the gulag for purging inactive voters from Ohio's rolls.
To refresh your memory, Ohio law allows county clerks to regularly clean out the voter closet. You know, how you go into your closet and you see that sweater you haven't worn in a few years. You know, it probably should go to Goodwill.
Not to compare out-of-style Gap clothing to a constitutional right, but Ohio law literally allows election clerks to basically do the same with voter rolls. And here's how it works. If a voter has not voted for two straight years, clerks can send them a postcard in the mail asking them to confirm their registration and address. If that person does not respond and they also do not vote for another 4 years, the clerks can cancel their registration.
Supporters, like Secretary of State John Husted, who was named in a suit, say the system protects the integrity of the voting system. It ensures that people who have moved are not voting at their old addresses.
Opponents say legal voters should not be dropped from the rolls just for not voting. It's not a use it or lose it right, they say. And they say the purge has a disproportionate effect on low-income urban voters, African-American voters who tend to vote for Democrats.
Of course, this went before the U.S. Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court this week ruled in a 5-4 decision that Ohio can do this voter purge. So the purge continues. To dig a little deeper into this story and how this purging actually happens, or doesn't happen, perhaps, we are joined by the reporter with the best last name at the Statehouse, Chrissy Thompson of the Cincinnati Inquirer. No relation, by the way. Welcome, Chrissy, to Snollygoster.
Thank you, Cousin Mike.
First to the ruling. It was a 5-4 ruling, as we said. Conservatives on one side, liberal on the other. It's pretty typical these days. The majority's reasoning was, you know, it is against federal law to remove a person for not voting, but the majority said Ohio is not doing that because it sends out that postcard. It's a two-step process, so the court ruled that this does not violate federal law, and Ohio is taking its due diligence, in their opinion, to make sure that the voter rolls are cleaned out and are not prone or not subject to fraud. So what does this mean, Chrissy, right, going forward?
So Ohio is allowed to continue its program, although that isn't going to happen right away. Our program, I think it's important to note, was instituted to be in compliance with a national law that was passed in the early 1990s. And each state has decided how to do this differently. So we're one of only 3 or 4 states, off the top of my head, like Georgia is another one who does it the way we do, who does it this way.
So they verge inactive voters.
That's right. They will send a postcard. If you don't vote, they take you out. Yeah. But generally, there's a federal law that says we have to keep our voter rolls up to date, and we have to take steps to do that. But it kind of leaves it up to the states how to do it. So that law will not allow you to take people off of the rolls 90 days before a federal election. And we have federal elections with our special election in the 12th district in August, and then obviously our midterm election for Senate in November. And so this isn't going to happen at all this year.
So this year's voters, even if you haven't voted in a few years, you're okay to go and vote as long as you haven't moved.
That's right. So how Ohio will continue to do this is probably going to depend on this fall's election. So if you have an opinion on this, you know, do some research into Secretary of State candidates and such and vote. But we will be doing something in this way. And although we have a Republican Secretary of State now, this was not his idea. This is, again, Ohio's been doing this since the 90s.
Yeah, 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm, sending out this postcard. And so we are going to, at least starting off next year, probably again do this where we send out a postcard. Hey, you haven't voted in 2 years. You missed one of the major elections. Do you still want to vote? You can respond to the postcard. You can vote. You can sign a petition. You can check the box when you're at the BMV that says, yeah, I want to be registered to vote. You just have to do some response in 4 years. And unless there's some change to state law or policy, that's going to continue.
And we should say that we tried to book former Secretary of State Jennifer Bruner on the show. She enforced this law regularly. A well-known Democrat, she was overseas and couldn't join us, but she enforced this law. It's been enforced by both Democrats and Republicans.
That's right. So why this became a huge issue and a partisan issue is that a whole bunch of people voted in 2008 for Barack Obama. They registered to vote, African Americans who were really excited to vote for a person of color, and then they didn't vote again. So after not responding to their postcard and not voting again in 6 years, they were removed from the voter rolls. So that was after the 2014 election, and it was before last year's presidential election. And so some liberal law firms were like, oh, geez, these people are now disenfranchised. They're going to go vote. They don't know they're not registered to vote, probably. Yeah. You know, again, the state sends a postcard, and the argument is we've told them. But I mean, I am not super good at checking my junk mail, so I don't know. You know, I miss things all the time junk.
I stand over my recycling bin with my junk mail and just toss it right in. And I can see myself tossing a card. It looks like a political mailer, but
totally. It doesn't even have a window. Like, the windows are at least put in the trash, but the card's like, boom, right into the recycling bin.
But you could see how, I mean, a lot of people vote in just presidential elections. Mm-hmm. And if you're one of those people, you are subject, if you don't return the postcard, of getting tossed off the roll.
If you just skip one presidential election, you're among this crowd.
Yeah.
Right. So the argument is, though, that they give you 4 years after you get the postcard. So you technically have to have not voted in 6 years. And if you're only voting in presidential elections, whatever, don't respond to the postcard. Just go vote the next time. But if you, like, I mean, it's been years, right?
Yeah.
Say you forget about it. You go to the, and
your kid gets sick, you can't make it to election day.
I mean, this has happened to me, not in major elections, but there have been a couple primaries. So as reporters, we have different rules that we follow personally about how we'll vote in elections. And a lot of us reporters won't vote in primaries.
Because you have to register with the party.
Because it registers you with a party, right. So that I will pull an issues-only ballot.
Yeah.
There have been, I fully admit it, times when I've gone to the polls. I work on primary days, right? It's a big day for us. Mm-hmm. Go to the polls and you're like, okay, I'm just going to vote real quick before I go to work. The line's super long and I'm only checking a box on a ballot or on a levy renewal and I've just left. So like, say I forget about that and or you don't go on one of these big elections and the next time you try to show up to vote and you're not registered.
But and that was the minority's dissent in this case was that I think it was Stephen Breyer wrote it, saying voting is not a use it or lose it right. You have the right to vote, and yeah, Ohio does take these things, but junk mail gets tossed all the time, and your decision not to vote is a constitutional right. And if you haven't moved, stay on the lines. You and your colleague Jesse Ballmert, mm-hmm. a couple years ago, looked at this when this case was first filed, and you polled all 88 counties as to how they purge voters. And you found some pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, so there's actually 18 people on this project because it's a lot of counties to call. And because, as I'll explain here, it's not like you just call and be like, hey, can you give us a list of the people you've purged? It's like a lot of the counties don't have lists. So we called all these counties, my colleagues and Jesse Ballmert and I, and we asked, well, first of all, the Secretary of State does not have a record of how many people have been cut. So we wanted to find that out. And we wanted to find out, does it really matter where you live? Because, as you said in this lawsuit, the argument was this is disenfranchising people of color. And we actually found that it's true that it does likely have the effect of disproportionately affecting people of color. And not necessarily because of the process. If it was just implemented perfectly, you know, maybe that would be differently. But these small rural counties are giving people the benefit of the doubt sometimes because they know them and they're not taking them off the rolls. I think Van Wert County is my favorite. I called and she's like, oh, I haven't purged anyone for years. We were like, And the state was like, no, she has. And she was like, no, I haven't. So honestly, who was right? I'm really not sure.
I have no doubt believing that because I live in a very small town in Union County. And I don't have to show any ID because I know the people running the front desk. I have no doubt that's true about Van Wert County.
Yeah. So, and I'm hoping that I know there was something with Van Wert. I'm hoping I'm not naming the wrong county there. But yeah. So, there was another county that somebody had just cleaned out a file folder or a whole file drawer of old records, and she basically says that she guesses she threw out this file that was supposed to have the records of the people that they had purged. So some counties didn't have records of how many people. Some counties would say one thing, but then there's a national database that you can submit information to, and it would say something else. So
it's our system.
It's a total mess.
It's just the way we count, the way we registered voters and count votes in this country is I don't know if there's a better way, but it's just so disjointed because it's all done at the local level.
Right. Well, and that's Husted's argument is like, because he's supposed to be enforcing this across the board. And he'll send out directives and like the big counties follow them to a T because they have millions of, millions of people they have to process.
Resources,
right?
To do it, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then these small counties, have like 27,000 voters or something like that. They're like getting one or two postcards every day from the bailiff that says who's been convicted of a felony. So they cross those people out. Yeah. It's just totally a different process. They don't have computer systems, some of them. They don't, or up-to-date computer systems, et cetera. So Husted's argument is like, this is the way Ohio law works. We're ground up, counties run their own systems. Technically, I did look into this again today because I was trying to refresh my memory. Like he basically, if there's a mistake, like some of the ones we pointed out, they called the counties, helped them update their computer systems, helped them, et cetera, because everybody's supposed to have the same access to voting.
Chrissy, while we have you here, we did want to talk about a new poll. Your newspaper, along with Suffolk University, published a poll this week that has put a bounce in Democrats' step. First of all, it shows Sherrod Brown with a significant lead over his opponent, Jim Renacci. No big surprise there. It also shows Richard Cordray with a 7-point lead over Mike DeWine.
Yeah. So if you read our story, it's like Chris Wetterich, who covers politics for one of our competitors, the Cincinnati Business Courier, tweeted like, the writers of this story, it seems like by reading the story, the writers did not believe this poll. So I did not. I opened the results. This is not what I expected to see.
No.
Mike DeWine was supposed to be like have a solid lead, like Neil Clark's group. He's a GOP lobbyist, but they commissioned a poll and it... again, they're GOP lobbyists, but the poll, it didn't look like it had anything wrong with it, and had to wind up 6 points. I called our pollster, and I was like, what, this is wrong, right?
What's going on?
Come on. And he said, this is why we do polling, Chrissy. And he's finding that, now ours was likely voters, but so this is people who say they're likely to vote, and it, that's one caveat. It's, hard to do those polls this far in advance, people, it's a lot easier to see if people are going to vote like the week before the election. But people who are really amped up against Trump are planning to vote, and it affects who they're going to vote, even for governor. I don't like Trump. I want to fight him. I'm going to vote for Richard Cordray. And also, Mike DeWine took a real beating in the primary. So there's a lot of Republicans who are undecided who will probably end up voting for DeWine if they vote, though, you know? Maybe they'll get fed up and not vote. And it's just hard in midterm elections. We were just talking about this with people of color, sometimes not voting in just this, just the midterm election. And so say these people are really fired up and they say they're going to vote. It's just hard to turn those people out. I think the proof is in the pudding in November. But
well, the Quinnipiac poll that came out later in the day kind of backed your poll up. It was narrower. It was basically the tie. Cordray did have a 2-point lead.
Yeah.
And you look at Mike DeWine has the name ID advantage. He's got the money advantage. He ran his campaign. He was on the air a lot. Granted, he was most of the time attacking Mary Taylor, but still he was on the air a lot. Mm-hmm. So the fact that this race is close this early is a surprise.
Totally. And it's a terrible sign for Mike DeWine. I mean, really, they thought they had this huge lead. So he's going to have to start spending money soon, just so that to try to I mean, it's really bad for these people when their polls come out like this, because then there's, you know, investors have a finite amount of money and they would maybe put it in a different race. So he's going to have to do something. The Republican Governors Association is going to have to do something. And it really, they weren't planning on doing that this early.
What you're going to see is a lot of negative ads against Richard Cordray.
That'll be a fun
summer.
Well,
you're going to see, but a lot of folks don't know who he is. So Mike DeWine's campaign is going to let us know who he is,
yeah,
in their opinion.
They're going to
and
say
that means
he's a
negative
terrible
ads.
Washington bureaucrat. Yada, I mean,
Nancy Pelosi, you know, Link, and Hillary Clinton,
Barack
Link,
Obama, but, running it in all the working class areas. But the thing is that, like, Trump voters, these working class Democrats who registered as Republicans, they just don't really care about this race. This is much more anti-Trump people.
Yeah.
And so, it's all going to come down to turnout, which is like the dumbest thing ever to say, but it's true.
It does. I mean, that's why.
If you care, you should vote.
How many Trump voters will be purged by 2022?
That's a good question.
There's going to be a few.
I think probably a lot.
Right. If they don't change state law.
Yeah, all jokes aside, one-time voters who are not traditionally politically active people, they seem like prime candidates.
Maybe they're just going to stay so engaged to the political system, and they're going to
new norm now.
Fall in love with it.
They're all listening to us, Nollygoster, podcast subscribers.
They're now suddenly
and
political junkies.
They're going to be constantly engaged. I doubt it, though, honestly.
All righty. Well, you know, We had this segment called John Kasich GPS, and Chrissy could have been our John Kasich GPS during the 2016 campaign. So let's stalk the governor of Ohio.
Ohio, Governor Kasich, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Thanks, Chuck.
Governor, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
We went to Tulsa instead of where we were going in Colorado.
John Kasich GPS is our weekly segment where we follow the governor around. He's a candidate for something, and he's traveling around the country.
And it looks like he stayed close to home this week, actually. His byline has been in a lot of newspapers lately, writing at least 5 major paper op-eds a month.
No national talk show appearances we could find this week, but he did release a statement, of course, on the Trump-Kim summit, the governor of Ohio weighing in on foreign policy once again. He welcomed the meeting, but criticized the agreement as being long on form and short on substance. He criticized the president's concession to end the U.S. South Korean military exercises, and insisted that human rights be a part of any future discussions, pointing to the case of Otto Warmbier, the Cincinnati area man who died soon after returning comatose from a North Korean prison.
And on the same topic, the Quinnipiac poll that we've been talking about, it also showed 51% of Ohioans do not want John Kasich to run for president, and only 1 in 5 Ohio Republicans want him to run for the White House.
You still have your frequent flyer miles from all your travels with John Kasich?
A lot of my hotel points were used by my husband, who took a ski trip at my suggestion while I was covering John Kasich. Didn't even get to use them.
Yeah. Oh,
but it occupied him, which was good.
And you were out of time. So.
Oh, well.
So what do you think?
Oh, is he going to run or not? I think he will put together a campaign. Whether there will be the official, like, I have filed the paperwork and I am running, I don't know. But yeah, I think he's...
You think he
decides? Why not?
He
wants to be president, and he's done all this work. I think he will. The Republicans don't want to vote for him.
No, like, this poll shows it.
If you didn't hear that, that is what they said. And there's really, it's just no path for an independent to the White House. So I don't think he's going to be president, but I think he is going to do some sort of campaign. Yeah.
George Will this week reported, the columnist from the Washington Post, Bill Weld, former governor of Massachusetts, is going to run as a libertarian in all 50 states. So, and he's a moderate, Kasich-like.
Yeah, totally.
Republican.
Totally. Yeah.
He's a Grateful Dead fan. Kasich's a rock and roll.
Maybe they'll
fan.
Be on a ticket together. Although Kasich does not like
the Grateful
he's
Dead.
He's not a libertarian. No. Well, he likes. What does he like? He likes like Linkin Park and Taylor Swift.
Godsmack.
Know.
We have some Godsmack.
All of those things that are
very
similar.
Always at Rock on the Range. All right, well, that will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. Be sure to leave us a good review on iTunes. Also, be sure to tell your friends about us. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.